Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Crushing it today, crushing it in front of the Senate confirmation hearing. I mean, just bringing the thunder. And boy, Adam Schiff is an idiot. What an absolute idiot. There's several idiots on that committee. Sheldon Whitehouse, moron. Mazie Hirono, bigger moron. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And hey, it may not be very statesmanlike to call these people idiots and morons, but they are idiots and morons. They really are. I mean, just one after another. Padilla from California, this idiot. But I'll get into all that with you. There is a deal right now with Israel and the Hamas regarding the hostages and a ceasefire deal. We're going to talk to our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, on that later. She's the author of the book on the Israeli situation. She is the definitive go-to person on all foreign policy matters, and she's making time for us today. So I'm very, very excited about that. The Battle for the Jewish State, of course, her brand new book, How America and Israel Can Win. We also may be getting a chat with Senator Dave McCormick today. He's making a lot of news on the circuit with his confirmation, Senator Marco Rubio's confirmation hearing and some of the questions that the senator asked the senator. Rubio actually, I mean, you heard that clip in the news. He did joke by saying it's kind of surreal to be on the other side of the table. And he did say you all look very distinguished up there. He talked about an America first foreign policy. Look, I mean, of all the Trump nominees, he's the one that excites me the least, obviously. And I think we all kind of agree on that. But it gets him out of the Senate. And Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, mentioned Kat Kamick yesterday. And I got to tell you, you know, Kat Kamick is one of my favorite people. I love her. I think she's fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because I partied with her in New York City and, you know, had to put her in a cab at like 2 a.m. But I'm saying that she's a rock solid conservative. She speaks her mind. She's a firecracker. And that would be a huge upgrade, in my opinion, from Marco Rubio. A huge upgrade. So, you know, by putting him over to Secretary of State, you kind of minimize the damage. Rubio is not a policymaker in that position. Blinken is. I mean, the current Secretary of State is calling the shots, obviously, because our president, who, by the way, Biden is going to give his farewell address tonight, his farewell address to the nation. I have no interest in watching that. Maybe you will. I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's lots of things I'll do for you. I do things for you all the time. And I know it's a two-way street. I know you do things for me all the time. First of all the incredible well wishes on social media, the notes I've gotten about my staph infection and my recovery, thank you. Even the jokes, haha, you're very funny, but I appreciate it. I know there's a lot you do for me to help promote the show. I do things for you like watch MSNBC clips and have to listen to that nonsense to bring it to you, but I'm not going to listen to Biden tonight. I've had enough pain. I've had enough suffering. And all the oxycodone, all the morphine, and all the land could not help me get through that. So I'm not watching that. We'll get some clips maybe for tomorrow's show. I don't know. But Biden's not running the show. Blinken is. Blinken, the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken is. Marco Rubio is not going to be running the show. Donald Trump's going to be running the show. But let's think about this. Trump's not president yet, and the hostages are going to be returned. So that's really the big headline today as we start the day. Trump's not president yet, but they know that when he becomes president in a matter of days, that if the hostages are not returned, there's going to be holy hell to pay. And he said as much last week at Mar-a-Lago when he had that big press conference. And Hamas knows. Listen, this idiot in the White House, this jello brain can't get anything done. You don't have to fear him, but you got to fear Trump. You better fear Trump. And so this is very reminiscent of Jimmy Carter leaving and turning it over to Ronald Reagan, is it not? With the Iranian hostages? Very reminiscent of that. And it's fitting, too, because there's so many similarities between Carter's failed presidency and Biden's failed presidency, with the exception of Jimmy Carter was better on deregulation. And he does deserve a lot of credit on deregulation. It's one of the things about Carter's presidency that I will give him credit for. Biden is a total disaster, has done nothing good, in my opinion, nothing. And good riddance. You know what I mean? Goodbye. He's a corrupt SOB. He always was a corrupt SOB. I told you back in 2020, I said, please don't fall for this kind old man in the basement routine. You know what I mean? He's one of the angriest, vindictive, corrupt SOBs that has ever served in the United States Senate. And he made a lifetime out of it. He's a multimillionaire. He has made money off the taxpayers with his corruption. And I say good riddance to the guy. He campaigned as a moderate. I told you, don't fall for that act. He got in there and acted on day one, as one of the most destructive leftist presidents we have had in a very, very long time. On day one, like undoing all the border stuff. The whole reason why the border is a disaster and we killing the Keystone XL pipeline and then the foreign policy debacle, spending like an absolute drunken sailor. And that's disrespectful to drunken sailors. But I mean, driving up inflation, driving this country into further debt. Good riddance. You know, and then now in his final days, trying to basically sell the border wall to the highest bidder, trying to end oil and natural gas leases wherever he possibly can. And he's trying to take credit for this deal. Let me tell you something. This deal happened because Hamas fears Donald Trump. Don't think for a second Biden had anything to do with this. And you're listening to him today before the show. And I texted DeSantis. I was like, I don't even want to hear any clips of him. There's one clip, though, I do want to play for you, which is when Biden says that we worked with the incoming administration on this deal. First of all, the deal was done when Donald Trump said at Mar-a-Lago last week, and I think we have the clip. I think, Matt, you said it's at the end of the cut sheet, which I got to pull up the updated show sheet. Excuse me. I can't say cut sheet. That's now, you know, I'm not allowed to legally use that term.
Cut 24, by the way.
Thank you very much. So let's go to the not cut sheet and play cut 24, please.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is.
That's it. Exactly right. That's why this deal's happening right now. Period. Period. Otherwise, if it was Biden, and Biden said this deal is the same deal I proposed months ago, well, then why didn't it happen months ago? Nothing changed. I mean, Biden's argument today, which again was mind-numbing to listen to, his carefully prepared scripted remarks, basically goes on to say that this is the same deal I offered them months ago. Well, why is it happening now, you idiot? It's happening now because Trump's coming into office in a few days, and Trump threatened them, and they know that he's going to deliver. This is the key to strong foreign policy. It is scaring your enemy so that they stay in their lane, period. You want to have peace through strength? That's exactly what that is. And you got to be unpredictable, and you got to be somebody that they fear. I'm sorry, but as Machiavelli wrote many, many years ago, you know, it's better to be feared than loved. Truly is. I mean, you want to be both, ideally. But if you got to choose one or the other, better to be feared. Truly. Great leaders love to be loved. They do. And being loved can also be, you could be feared at the same time. But if you only had to pick one, Machiavelli's argument is you pick fear. It's better for them to fear you than love you if you can only choose one. Well, Hamas, China, Russia, these other countries around the world are never going to love Donald Trump. But they are going to fear him. And they do fear him. That's why this deal is happening right now. That's the bottom line. That's why this deal is happening. Yes, we will have Senator Dave McCormick today joining us at 5:15 p.m. So that's great. And Matt, I'm just going to copy you on an email to Dave's people so you can get back to them with the proper information. I'll let you do all that and handle all that as the executive producer, of course, of the effort. But, you know, I was just it was just funny because I was just I texted Dina McCormick, Dave's wife, and I said, hey, I just saw the clip of him asking Senator Rubio about the Hamas deal is going viral now. And then they asked if he could come on the show. And I said, of course, absolutely. We'd love to have him. It's actually going to be the first time he's been on the show since he became a United States senator. And I had the privilege of being there in D.C. for his swearing in ceremony, which was a real honor to be there. Anyway, so this deal is happening today because Donald Trump is coming into office and they fear him. And that's why it's happening. It's nothing about Joe Biden. It's nothing about any of anything that he and Blinken worked out, because if it was, then Hamas would have agreed to this ceasefire deal months ago, because Biden said today nothing's changed. Now, as far as this goes, let's understand something, too. Come Monday at 12:01 p.m., when Donald Trump takes the oath of office as the 47th president of the United States of America. And by the way, I should also mention to you today, Biden was speaking. Kamala Harris was behind him, and she looked – it looked like a hostage video. She looked stoned. I mean, completely stoned. I don't think she's doing dry January. Or maybe she is doing dry January because it's purely pills, and she's, like, you know, sworn off the liquid. I don't know. But, I mean, she looked – it looked like a hostage video, just staring into the camera. It was very, very creepy. But anyway, when Trump becomes president Monday at 12:01 p.m., Hamas knows – it's the saying goes, F around and find out. You know what I mean? F being for fool. Fool around and find out. I know it's a family show. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Fool around and find out. I don't know which comedian it was who pointed out something the other day. They said, my mother finally learned what WTF means, and now she uses it all the time. And his mom thinks it means, wow, that's fantastic. And I don't know which comedian said it, but it's been going around. And what happens is that all these people on the internet steal stuff and pretend like it's their own. I'm not going to do that. I come up with enough funny stuff. I don't need to do that. I do steal stuff from my buddy Frank Troy a lot. I do. I do steal his jokes. But I do that mostly to just kind of burn him more than anything else. You know what I mean? I can come up with those jokes on my own. I don't need him. But I do it mostly because it irritates him. And that gives me joy. But yeah, wow, that's fantastic. Imagine that. Like, so his mom's writing back WTF all the time to him. It's pretty funny. But anyway, fool around and find out is what basically is going to be Donald Trump's foreign policy. It's going to be America first. We're not going to be starting new wars. But we're not going to be afraid to start a war if we have to. Like, we won't. We don't want to. We come in peace. But if you mess around, you will find out what we're going to do. And that's the way to keep crazy people in their lane. It is human nature for countries to want to conquer other countries, for people to want to conquer each other. This is why the founders of this country, the founding fathers and the framers of the Constitution, were brilliant philosophers, because they understood human nature. And they understand that the nature of mankind, humankind, humankind, not to upset little Fidel. The nature of humankind is that we like to be in control. The tendency of man is to try to assume power. And what you do is you create a government that restrains those in power so that the people are really in power, not the exalted leaders, however they come to office. And a big part of that is why Pam Bondi as Attorney General matters so much, because this government has managed to find a loophole around what the framers of the Constitution were trying to do by reining in the government as a constitutional republic. They found a loophole using the powers that we gave them under the guise of keeping us safe to then weaponize the justice system and use it to go after their political enemies and to help their political friends. And that's what happens. And that's not freedom, and that's not liberty. And yes, freedom and liberty are two distinct concepts, but that's neither freedom nor liberty when the government has that kind of power over us. So you have to restrain the government. They found a loophole. Pam Bondi said today, the weaponization of government ends. It's going to end on my watch. She even brought up, and I'm so glad she did, and maybe I have her cell phone number. And I'm not, is that me bragging? I guess it is. I have Linda Kearns to thank for that, though. My buddy Linda Kearns. But anyway, I'm not going to text Pam Bondi. You know what I mean? She's just finished up her confirmation hearing. She's probably grabbing a snack or something like that. But anyway, she brought up the moms at school board meetings targeted by the FBI, the Department of Justice. She brought that up today. I thought that was fantastic. She said a lot of great things about reining in the Department of Justice, the weaponized Department of Justice. And you know something? The Democrat Party today is so full of crap when it comes to civil liberties and criminal justice reform. The only person who brought up criminal justice reform today was a Republican, Senator Mike Lee, who talked about the First Step Act, something that President Donald Trump signed into law, which is a great start towards reforming our criminal justice system. And then he brought up the fact that at one time they asked the Congressional Research Office to figure out how many federal laws are on the books, and they couldn't. They had to stop because there are so many rules that the government has promulgated that carry punitive damages, punitive jail time, fines, whatever it is. And here's the thing about that. Another way to do an end run on the founders and the framers of the Constitution to get around all that is to have a system of government whereby the executive branch makes laws, and then you don't have to go through the legislative branch of government because you just have a bunch of bureaucrats who make laws under the guise of rules. I call them rules, but I don't care what you call it. It's the same thing. There's another old saying, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You've heard that one before too, right? Again, family show. I'm going to say, you know, pee. But anyway, my point is, I know what it is. If you come up with a rule, but that rule carries jail time or fines or anything else, that's not a rule. That's a law. And those kind of things have to be passed by Congress. But that's another way they get around the restraints that were placed on this government. And Pam Bondi addressed that today as well, and saying we absolutely need to rein in and have criminal justice reform in this country. And I was very, very happy to hear that. Another thing, too, which is really important to note, is that the weaponization of government, this notion of powerful people with guns who are able to then intimidate the citizenry and have them just go into compliance mode because they're afraid of their own government, is also something that the founders and the framers never, ever wanted for this country. They wanted the government to fear the people. They never wanted the people to have to fear their government, ever. Understand that. Again, this is breaking from human nature. I shouldn't say breaking from human nature. That's the wrong thing. It's understanding human nature, respecting human nature, and then finding a way to counter that. So, you know, you're sitting around a bar in Philadelphia and you're drinking grog because the water's all shin god, you know what I mean? It's dysentery and everything like that. So you're hanging out with your buddies and, you know, you're drinking beer and stuff. You're talking about philosophy and you're talking about human nature. Like, how do we restrain human nature? And they talk about the idea that the government will always try to remain in power. Whoever is in power, nobody ever gives up power. It just doesn't happen. So if you're going to create a system of government whereby the people are in charge, then you have to reverse it so that the people are not afraid of their government. The government's afraid of the people. And that's what they created. They created a constitutional republic where you have a bunch of armed citizens, and the people in government need to be afraid of those people, meaning we the people. And yes, they were revolutionaries. They had literally just had a revolution, and they understood the power of revolution, and they were not afraid to say, hey, if you ever need to do another revolution, you know, knock yourselves out. But what happened is the revolution that occurred within the federal government, in the executive branch of government, where you had all these very powerful bureaucrats figure out, hey, we can stay in power forever. I could be at the Department of Justice for 30 years, raining down with rules and regulations, and I can be more powerful than a president, than a senator, than a member of Congress. I could be at the Environmental Protection Agency. I could retire from there with a pension and benefits and everything else. Spend my entire career there. Nobody knows my name. Nobody knows what I look like. And I have more power than most senators and most people in Congress. That is not how it's supposed to be. And the bureaucrats have figured out how they can do an end run around what the founding fathers and the framers of the Constitution were trying to stop, which is people in power for their entire lives, running this country with zero accountability to the people. And now's the time to reverse all that. Now is the time. And if we don't do it now, it'll never happen. I'm telling you right now, it will never happen. If we don't go into this, if President Trump and his disruptors, and that's really what it should be called, President Trump and the Disruptors. Sounds like a cool college band, doesn't it? Maybe it'll be my book, President Trump and the Disruptors. Got to copyright that. What they need to do is they need to go into these agencies and disrupt them. And as part of that, take away the power of these bureaucrats who have managed to promulgate all of these rules and regulations that amount to laws that Congress has to undo if Congress doesn't like it, which is almost impossible to do. Strip away that power from these bureaucrats. And by doing so, you return it to the people who are accountable to we the people. That's what has to happen. And it's going to take a lot of work. When Pam Bondi vows to end the weaponization of government, let's understand something. Every federal agency is weaponized, every single one of them. You don't believe me? Ask Amish farmers about the Food and Drug Administration being weaponized, and they'll tell you about FDA agents, heavily armed FDA agents, raiding their farms for selling milk and cheese. Now, I myself am not a big raw milk fan, but I do like raw cheese, and it doesn't matter whether or not I like raw milk or not. The idea that you would have heavily armed agents from the Food and Drug Administration showing up to a farm to go after people for selling a product that people want to consume that's freaking milk shows you everything I'm talking about. And do you think that the founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, would have ever imagined, many of them were farmers, ever imagined in a million years, that 200 years from now, you'd have heavily armed agents showing up at a farm because they were selling the milk that just came out of a freaking cow? Like, think about that. You know what I mean? Some of these people go back to their farms in Virginia or Jersey. Don't forget, Jersey's got some good farms, you know. So does Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's number one industry is agriculture. So they leave Washington and they go back to their farms and they milk a cow and then they sell that milk. And you imagine if they were like, oh my God, can you ever imagine 200 years from now, the president has armed agents who come and arrest me for selling milk that I just milked for my cow? And it sounds ridiculous, right? Even as I'm saying it, it sounds ridiculous. Yet it happens in America. It happens all the time. That's what I mean. It's little things like that. We don't even know how many little things there are that you could get in trouble for. There's a book, one of my favorite books, called Three Felonies a Day. The argument in that book is that the average American citizen commits three felonies a day and doesn't even realize that they're doing so. That is problematic. That is very problematic. That is the antithesis of what the founding fathers and the framers of the Constitution were trying to do, which is to restrain this government. Literally, they created a government trying to restrain it. And the one guy they feared the most was the president, because they didn't want the president to become a king. Little did they realize at the time that it wasn't even the president you had to worry about, but all the people that worked for him in his branch of government, in the executive branch of government, who would find ways to wield power and get around the Constitution. And it all goes back to Woodrow Wilson, who hated our Constitution. He hated the Constitution. I tell you, every time I go to the Woodrow Wilson rest stop, speaking of peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining, right on that sign that says Woodrow Wilson, you know what I'm talking about. I don't go inside. Right there on that sign every time. Yeah. And one day, if I get arrested for it, I'll take my case all the way to the Supreme Court and I'll say every American should do that to the Woodrow Wilson sign, because that's how bad this guy was. He hated the Constitution. The left hates our Constitution. The progressives have always hated our Constitution because it restrains them and they don't want to be restrained. And so what I was saying earlier about the Democrat Party being so full of crap, none of these people want to restrain this government in any way, shape or form. They want to expand its power over you. They want to have more tools to be able to monitor you, track you, scare you, intimidate you into compliance and doing what they want. not less, and they want more rules and more regulations, and they want bureaucrats to be more empowered. That's what they want. This is the battle of our lifetime right now. We got 4 years to do this, and I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump's the only person who can get this done. He's got 4 years. He doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. He and his disruptors have the chance now to change this government for good forever. And if we don't do it now, we are screwed. It's that dire. But thankfully, we have people who get it, who have been nominated for these positions. People like Pam Bondi, people like Kash Patel. Thank God. Tulsi Gabbard. Thank God. Now we just got to get them through. And I think when you hear some of the audio from Pam Bondi today, you will agree with me. She is absolutely the right woman for the job. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We got a big show for you today. Lots of great guests. You are going to be blown away. You don't want to miss a second of it. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baby, it is a busy, big day today. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here. I got to make sure my camera's in a good spot here. Just going to move it back a little bit. I had to make a couple of minor adjustments. We'll be good to go starting tomorrow officially with the better camera. But for now, I just got to use a stupid built-in webcam one. But tomorrow will be fixed. Just all making changes to the studio because of the fact that my foot, you know, got the stupid staph infection. And by the way, last night I did my first IV antibiotic infusion in my arm. You can see here on the YouTube chat, I got what they call a PICC line in. And so last night I had the nurse go through with me. Today I had another nurse go through how to change the dressing, which they're going to do for me. But so I did it last night. You know, I injected, I had to do the saline, then I had to do the antibiotic, and then I had to do the saline again, then I had to do this other thing to prevent clotting. And so that was fun. So I got to do this now for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and I can't miss a dose. I got to do it at the same time every day. And what I'd like to do at some point is demonstrate on live on air how it's done. But I don't know if I can do that on the air because basically I am terrible at following directions and I have no patience and my wife has to help me because I have to put in the antibiotic over the course of 3 minutes. If I don't do that, then I could go deaf. So you got to put it in slowly into your arm. If you do that too fast, you'll go deaf. So we literally had to set a 3-minute timer and then put in the antibiotic. And I guess this is a pretty strong antibiotic for the staph infection. They think what happened, like Chef E on Twitter said, maybe it's my diet and exercise. It's not that. They put in this hardware in my toe. And I think that the original doctor who did it just did a crappy job. And it wasn't in place properly. And there was a gap. And bacteria can get in, and it got in. It wasn't stitched up great either. And the staph infection. You know, this the staph infection that I have, this bacteria lives on your skin. I mean, typically it doesn't bother you, but when it gets into your body and it grows, then it's a real big to-do. You know what I mean? So 7 days in the hospital on very heavy IV antibiotics, and I actually lost weight in the hospital because I had to eat, but I wasn't exercising. I can't exercise. I can't use my foot. I got a walker and a friggin' scooter. And, you know, I will take a picture for you of me on the scooter going around the house in my scooter, which is kind of fun. But I don't want to gain any weight. I can't. And I got to be on TV Saturday night. So the camera adds 20 pounds. I can't. You know what I mean? I can't risk it. So I do like a keto kind of diet during the week. And then on Sunday, well, that's cheat day. You know, I got the kids. It's family Italian. You know what I mean? My son, Patrick, loves the fact that every Sunday we do pasta. Usually Reagan helps me make the pasta homemade. And then some Sundays, like this Sunday for the Eagles game, I'll make homemade bread, seeds, of course, sesame seeds. And then we'll do some cheesesteaks. That's what we're going to do on Sunday. You little Cooper Sharp. It's going to be great. My point is that in the course of this infection, this staph infection, it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was because bacteria got in and it loves to do that. And then, you know, you to kill this friggin' staph infection, it takes weeks. They used to have to keep you in the hospital the whole time. Now you can do it from home, thank God. Because I'm telling you, 7 days in the hospital is a long time. You lose your friggin' mind. And they were great to me at Cooper. They were wonderful. Like, the nurses, everybody was fantastic. And the first couple of days, it felt like being in my own private vacation club, because you pick up the phone, you get room service, they come in and check on you. You know what I mean? Make up the sheets. It's great. But then a few days of that goes by, and you're binge watching, and you're a little lonely, and everything. Of course, they come and they prod you throughout the night, you know, your blood pressure, and you really don't get a lot of sleep. So by the seventh day, I was very happy to go home to the family. And then last night at about 8 o'clock, I was like, oh, I probably should go back to the hospital for a couple more weeks because, Anyway, it's great to be back with the kids. It's a lot of fun. It really is. So I got to do that for the next 4 to 6 weeks. The mystery, which we don't know yet, is whether or not the bone got infected. See, when they did the CAT scan at the hospital, it looked like a bone infection. Now, if it's a bone infection, then that's another hole to do. We got to figure that out too. But we'll get there. It's all right. That's okay. As far as how I'm, I appreciate all your nice comments too, and all the sarcastic, you know, little like Chris, for example, with all his little comments and snarkiness. But and that goes for Eppolito too, who yesterday suggested that I better take care of my foot, or I'm going to wind up like a one-legged pirate, always talking about my appearances on Fox News. That's cute. That's funny. I like that. Ha ha. You're cute. You're funny. Funny guy. Tough guy. Anyway, I feel great, except for the fact that it's exhausting. You know, sitting with your leg up, elevated, all friggin' day is not anything that an alpha male like me likes to do. You know what I mean? If you haven't figured this out by now, you probably know I'm a little bit of a go-getter. I like to go get things in life, and it's not easy. And I got to do this for the next 6 to 8 weeks. I can't go to the inauguration. And my buddy Linda Kearns invited me to go to the Republican National Lawyers Association luncheon. It's very possible, Matt DeSantis, you may get the ask in my place. How do you feel about that?
This is an honor. What else can I say?
Yeah, I'm gonna veto that though, real quick. You know what I mean? There's no chance.
I knew there was something coming. Yeah, that's why I didn't get overly excited.
Yeah, there's no chance I'm gonna let that happen. I mean, I'd rather cut off my foot and go to the lunch. I'd rather cut off my foot at the lunch than allow that to occur. That would be just an ultimate disgrace. There's no way we could do that.
It's a little mean, but okay.
That's how much I could not allow you to take my seat at that luncheon. You know what I mean? But but be prepared. It's Sunday afternoon, just in case.
Okay.
All right. Now, you'd have to fly in, though. That's the only thing. You'd have
to have to fly in. But that's not exciting. That's worth flying in for. I do have a question. More of a favor I have to ask of Linda Kearns, by the way.
What's that?
I don't know if you saw, but last night, Coca-Cola, the CEO, James Quincy, presented Donald Trump with this commemorative inaugural Diet Coke bottle. I have to have it.
You have to have it. You have to have the commemorative Diet Coke Trump edition.
I have to have it. I've never wanted anything more in my life.
Do you have the audio of him presenting him with this Diet Coke? Do we have the video?
I've looked everywhere. Unfortunately, there is no audio that I could find. It's only a picture. Maybe we could put the photo up on YouTube. I'll send it to Sean right now. Right. But man, it looks awesome.
Sean can do it. He's very capable. I have no doubts about that. But yeah, no, look, listen, if anyone can get it done, it's Linda Kearns. You know what I mean? It's Linda Kearns.
I have faith.
No, absolutely. Oh, and Karine Jean-Pierre is speaking about the hostage negotiation. I have really no interest in listening to this, but I guess maybe we should dip in. This is kind of a big deal, I guess. Why don't we jump in for a few minutes and listen to what they're saying regarding this hostage deal that was reached with Hamas and the return of American citizens and all the hostages, too. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Our hearts go out. Our hearts go out to the families who have been waiting 15 months to get their loved ones home. And so this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
And just on a slightly more personal note, on this, your 306th briefing, what advice do you have for your successor?
So I was asked this question, I think, when my successor was announced, and it's pretty much the same, which is...
All right, we'll keep an eye on that, Jackie Heinrich.
All right, there you go. So, look, President Trump, President-elect Trump, put out a statement today, and he said, this is him, and it is him, because I told you peace through strength is the only way to keep these lunatics in their lane. That's what you got to do. I don't want another war. Nobody does. But that's the way to do it. You got to make them fear you. And Trump has sent the message loud and clear, and that's why this is happening right now. Because Biden said it today. It's the same deal that he offered them back then. So if it was so different, why are they doing this now? And that's the thing. It's not any different. They're doing it now because they're afraid of Donald Trump coming in. So there you go. In fact, you know, since we're talking about foreign policy, let me just play this clip for you. This is Marco Rubio today during his confirmation hearing, as he talked about the top priority of the United States Department of State and what that's going to be with him as Secretary of State of the United States of America. Cut number three.
But ultimately, under President Trump, the top priority of the United States Department of State will be the United States. The direction he has given for the conduct of our foreign policy is clear. Every dollar we spend, every program we fund, every policy we pursue must be justified by the answer to one of three questions. Does it make America safer? Does it make America stronger? Or does it make America more prosperous?
I, for one, am glad to see Rubio leave the Senate. You know, I don't want to trash Rubio. I just, in my mind, he's not a particularly strong guy. I think he's one of those guys. He's one of those Republicans that goes where the wind blows. Like if tomorrow the Republican Party shifted back into the Bush-Cheney mindset of let's go kick ass and, you know, start wars, and I think he'd be right along with for the ride. And people like that in politics make me nervous. Because if they don't have core principles, then that's when we get into trouble. And Trump, for example, was against the Iraq war when the Iraq war happened. So, I mean, his consistency on things is very, very clear. And he was against the Iraq war at a time when it was not fashionable to be against the Iraq war. And he was even against the Iraq war when he was debating guys like Rubio back in 2015 and 2016. And the mindset of most of those people running for president, with the exception of really Rand Paul at the time, and a couple others, was this idea of America being an interventionist country that will use the military all around the world. And Trump running against that was an outlier position, big time. It's why the party worked so hard against him. He has now changed the Republican Party for better into a much more libertarian-minded foreign policy, which is we focus on America and keeping America safe. And that's our job. And so the question regarding our engagement with the world is it in America's interest? So when the left wants to cede our sovereignty to the bond villains at the World Economic Forum or the United Nations or the bond villains at Davos or wherever else, the Pandemic Committee, the World Health Organization, whatever it is, the answer is no. We don't cede American sovereignty. We don't turn over to some international globalist collective to make decisions for the United States of America. That's not how we do things. And why? Because the people of the United States of America are in charge. To go back to what I was saying in my opening, we, the people, are in charge of this government, not the other way around. And so we can't cede our sovereignty to a bunch of unaccountable bond villains, because that would say that the government's in charge and then the government's ceding its power to them. The government's not in charge of us. We, the people, are supposed to be in charge of our government. They are there to do our bidding in a constitutional republic form of government that we have, which we need to get back to. But think of the mindset of the left. Your average leftist today believes that we, the United States of America, should enter these globalist pacts to make the world a better place, even if it is not in our best interest, even if it means empowering countries that have horrible humanitarian records. And although I don't buy into the climate change hysteria, are some of the world's biggest polluters. And we're supposed to cede American sovereignty. But when we do that, what we're also doing is we're ceding the power of the people. If a globalist pandemic committee can turn around and say, all right, there's another, somebody ate another Undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. Man, they keep doing this. And there's a pandemic. Well, now we're in charge. And you've got these people at the World Health Organization and the Bond villains and Bill Gates and everybody else. And then now they, so our government turns over power to them. What do we do about that? What do we, the people, do about that? Not a damn thing. But that's what your average leftist believes, because they don't believe we should be in charge. They believe in exalted, enlightened academics who are supposedly smarter than us. You know, I hate Woodrow Wilson for so many reasons, but he was also the president of Princeton University. He's an abhorrent human being. I mean, he's dead. Good riddance. But what did he do when he became president? Surrounded himself with a bunch of academics. This is always the thinking of these people, these progressive commies. And they think we know better, we're smarter, and we're going to make rules and we're going to decide for you. You people are a bunch of peasants. Nothing new. I mean, nothing new. That's the way that humanity has always been, where the people in charge believe that the people are peasants. It's like Mel Brooks' movie History of the World, when he's like, the peasants love me. Shoot. I mean, it's the same thinking. Our foreign policy should be dictated by the only question, is this in America's best interest? Period. Ceding sovereignty, whether it's to the United Nations, whether it's to the World Health Organization, whether it's the World Economic Forum, whatever Bond villains are meeting in Switzerland on their yachts and their private jets and driving around in their motorcades and their no, the answer is no. We don't do that. And I'd like to get the America back to this whole idea, and this is a novel idea, where if we're going to enter into an agreement with other nations, hear me out on this, it's going to sound crazy, we do it in what's called a treaty, which has to be ratified by a supermajority in the United States Senate. I know that is crazy talk. I know. That's also the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. Politico has an article that says Rubio likely won't last long as Secretary of State because he doesn't mesh well with the MAGA agenda. And it's, the article's written to be complimentary of Rubio and critical of MAGA. I think that this is a very smart move by Trump to get rid of Marco Rubio. I really do. Ultimately, Rubio will be neutered as the Secretary of State. He'll take a lot of pictures. He won't be in charge. Trump will be in charge. And then we're going to get a strong conservative in that Senate seat, probably Kat Kamik, because Byron Donalds is going to be governor of Florida. And that's going to make me very, very happy. I love the idea of Kat Kamik being elevated to the Senate. Donalds becomes governor of Florida. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. And then, you know, it's good riddance to Marco Rubio. And again, I'm not here to like trash the guy. You go back to 2015, 2016. He was all about like Team America, World Police, go kick ass. I mean, that was the battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party back then. All right, take a quick break. We'll come right back. Got a lot of great audio for you today of Pam Bondi. We got some great guests coming up on the show. We're loaded up today. Senator Dave McCormick, United States Senator Dave McCormick, will make his first appearance on the show as a U.S. Senator today at 5:15. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
That song, of course, was written prior to the left destroying California. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for listening. Whether you're listening live or you're listening on the podcast or the stream, thank you. Appreciate it. I don't say thank you enough, so thank you. And we have a great show ahead for you. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to be on the show, Senator Dave McCormick, and Bob Livingston is going to be on the show. He's a former member of Congress. He wrote an excellent piece in the Wall Street Journal about Merrick Garland and the weaponization of the Department of Justice. And I'm really glad that he's going to be joining us today to talk about that. Plus, later in the show, my buddy Dawn Fantasia, New Jersey Assemblywoman. Yesterday, his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, came out and called for a cell phone ban in schools in New Jersey. I'm curious to get your take on that. A little bit later in the show, we'll open up the phones to get your opinion on that, because as a parent, I have mixed thoughts on it, but I also worry that if Murphy is doing this, it's because the teachers union wants him to do it. And that means that the teachers union doesn't like the fact that kids are able to possibly record their leftist indoctrinating nonsense and show it to parents like me who don't want their kids to be indoctrinated. And that's kind of what I think this is really about versus kids being distracted. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show today as we continue. One more clip of Well, actually, I'm going to do this. I went a little long in my opening today, but I think it was worth it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. And keep this in mind, too, when it comes to Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi, somebody who is by Donald Trump's side, somebody Donald Trump trusts, and somebody who understands what his mindset is, which is ending the weaponization of government. She was an attorney general. She knows the power that a prosecutor can wield, and she wants to rein that in. Think about that. Just like how Trump wants to rein in the power of the executive. Think about that, too. It says a lot about these people that they want to rein in their own departments and agencies. And for Donald Trump's sake, wants to rein in his entire branch of government. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.